Our gathering together in your name. Lord, we thank you that we survive, we live by your word. And Lord, we thank you tonight. It is your word that we partake of. It is your word that changes us and conforms us into your image and likeness. It is by your word that we gain that faith to be able to stand and endure in these last days. And so, Lord, we thank you for the meeting again tonight, and I pray your blessing upon all the saints who are coming into the room. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over the connection, and we thank you. Okay, we've got sound now, it just had gone off. Right, I'm reading this from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew 5 and verse 8, I'll read this out again, which says, as we all know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure, they shall see God. And I'm calling this tonight, a heart that is pure before Almighty God, and this is absolutely vital for our standing. And the Holy Spirit really has to teach us about our hearts, because our hearts can really deceive us. We are told in the scriptures that out of the heart are the issues of life. As a man thinks, so is he. We are fundamentally, whatever we think in our heart, we are at that point. And so we know if, when we speak of the heart, we're speaking of the inner man, the seat of the emotions, you. That's what we're talking about when we speak about the heart. And it is the heart that God changes. And in scripture we're shown, as he said to Israel, that he would change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And so God is constantly working on our hearts. And when we think in the terms of working on our heart, we're also thinking in terms he's working on our faith, because it's all connected. And so the heart is essential, because out of the heart are the issues of life. And life and death can be found in the heart. And it's whatever we decide, it's whatever we choose, it's whatever we want. And if we give our hearts over to God, then he's going to work that purity of heart. And it's not only a purity of heart, but it's a purity of motive, of attitude. You see, our motive, attitudes are very, very important before Almighty God. You see, there's no point in worshipping the Lord if you feel you must, you've got to do it. We worship God because we want to. And we do it because of out of a pure heart. We do it out of a heart that is grateful. We could even say we don't come into this room tonight because we feel through loyalty that we must be and give it support. One is never going to learn anything if that's the attitude and motive. We're all here tonight, I assume, because we love Jesus. It's out of purity. It comes where God places those affections within us. As we constantly stress, you are never going to walk with God, you are never going to embrace the deeper life in the Spirit, unless God puts that affection within us. The world in general doesn't have an affection for God. It only has a desire and overcoming the spirit of this age. He will work that, but the key to it is having this pure heart. And the deeper life teaching over the years is to work in us a purity of heart and holiness and godliness. Now, this idea of purity simply means to be clean. And so we are made clean with these pure hearts that God works on. And he works in diverse ways, in working and keeping our hearts pure. As I've said already, he works through us hearing the word of God. The word of God that we hear is like a washing, a cleansing. He also works on our heart and keeps our heart pure and clean as we fellowship, as we come together and encourage one another. As we overcome in our trials, as we bow the knee in humility before God, as we confess sin before God when we have short, all of these are means and ways in which the Holy Spirit works daily that we can maintain and keep a pure heart. We know, of course, the story of many of the saints, one of which, of course, is King David. He really committed bad sin before God, but God forgave him because he had a pure heart. He had a heart after God, even though he had to walk out his sin. And so it's wonderful how the Holy Spirit will work and achieve this in us. Well, the idea is, how is this work then in us? Well, it's obviously work by the Holy Spirit. And it's seeing the opposite of having an evil heart. For example, in Matthew 15 and verse 19, Matthew and verse 19, which says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." So there is the characteristic of an evil heart, a heart that thinks upon uncleanness, murders, adulteries, witnesses, blasphemies, and so forth. That sort of heart doesn't have peace. It is a heart that is angry. It is a heart that is greedy. It is a heart that can never be satisfied. Lusting always for more. Now God says he will change all of that so that we're not driven by those lusts that the world is driven by, but that he will work in us so that we have hearts that are at peace and harmony with God and our brothers and our sisters. And this is to be experienced. It's not just something that we speak about or we read about in the Word of God. It's actually imparted to us. It is given to us through the new birth and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As God works with our hearts, he changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And so when we fall short of the standard before God, then he's going to work in areas of our heart. And there are all areas with us, brothers and sisters, where we have weaknesses. And these weaknesses are a result of what has happened in our past life, whether through our upbringing or things that have happened to us and so forth. And so when we come over to Christ and we're born again and everything, God will deal with our baggage. God will deal with the past. Now, we have a standing already before God, and he says that he casts sin away as far as the east is to the west. But then God begins to work and circumcise the heart. He begins to work with us so that we have a greater faith and a greater standing before him. All of this is working with our hearts, making our hearts pure and right in his presence. You see, when we come to Christ and when we are born again, the deception is that we immediately have a pure... Well, the scriptures show us that God works on our heart the same as he works on our faith. Our new birth is that God has now given us a legal right and standing in his presence, undefiled, cleansed, forgiven. But he now has to work with our nature, perfecting us. That is doesn't change. That has to be worked on. And that is why we go through trials and testings, delays of faith, because God is now beginning to work right in the heart, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And that is our overcoming. And sometimes, you know, in our trials and our walk with God, we just feel as though we come to the end of ourselves. It feels as though we're just completely going under. It's like our flesh, our heart just fails. But there the love and mercy of God is holding us and sustaining us and encouraging us and getting us to rise up again and continue to walk with him. These are real, these trials. And sometimes we find that just in the heart, it just doesn't seem to be there. Maybe we want to get closer with God in a prayer life. But somehow we just try to get into prayer and we just find that we just dry up after about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Or we find that our praying is just so shallow. Well, God will work with this. If the desire of our heart is to grow closer with God in prayer, then he'll work that. And part of that working is that he's working with our hearts, helping us to have that right attitude and heart and motive toward him. This is why it is important that our hearts are pure in his presence. He won't receive anything that is not pure that comes from our heart. That is why God will not receive lip service. And sadly, many believers just give a lip service. But it has to come, what we say, from the heart. Otherwise, it's just to keep quiet and not say anything. We've all made false promises to God that sadly we've not been able to keep. And why did we not keep it? Because it wasn't in the heart. But if that's what we want, then God says he will give us the desires of our heart. And he will work on those godly desires that glorify his name. Hallelujah. And so we see that contrast in Matthew 15 verse 19 of what is an evil heart. Now, we know that if we hear anger, resentment coming out of our mouth, then that's come out for a reason, because God wants to expose and show us that there's an area of our heart he needs to work on. There may be an area of our heart where there's still resentment, unforgiveness. And so we know in our walk that that periodically comes up. Why? Because God needs to work and to change that. What he needs to do is to give you a desire to overcome in that area. We just have to face the fact that sometimes in this walk, there are some areas still at the moment that it's not really, the desire is not really yet in our hearts to overcome. Until we get in absolute despair, we find we just cannot overcome. Same old mistake over and over again, but what God is actually trying to get you to is that he needs to make our heart pure in that area. And the sign of a pure heart is that you have got a godly attitude. You have got a desire. You have got a want to overcome or to resist the devil and so forth. You will never overcome or resist the devil all the while your heart is not pure in that area. There's still a want to do it. And this is where honesty, openness, brokenness, repentance, confession comes in before Almighty God. And once you have done that, then stay before God's presence as he begins to work. It might require a trial. It might require where you are tested. It might even require deliverance. But God will do it. As I say so often, God knew when he called us, and he never made a mistake. He has not made a mistake over your life or my life, and that is all. You see, when we have these areas of sin that God is still dealing with in our lives, they are for a while like veiled, or they're like fog. We can't quite see, and yet they obstruct our vision. We know that there's still areas that is obstructing me really seeing Jesus, or really fully understanding what he's saying or his word. And so if we don't deal with that, then one begins to lose insight. One begins to lose interest. One begins to lose that desire for the word of God, a prayer life. All of these things can hinder our understanding. And of course, that is exactly what the devil wants. Many times we are not overcoming always in areas because we're still not fully seeing yet. There's still that fog. Our eyes haven't really yet been fully opened. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is constantly working on opening our eyes so that we see more. And sometimes it's not nice what one sees. Sometimes it can be hard. It can take a bit of swallowing. But you know something, whatever good, particularly about yourself, one thing you can always rest in, God's grace will be sufficient. And it will be there to minister to you and to help you so that you can deal with it, so that you don't have to run away. You don't have to feel embarrassed. You don't have to feel the Lord will never understand this. The Lord could never forgive me of this or whatever. Nothing ever takes God by surprise, whatever shocks him. And so we can rest in that. We can rest in the Father's heart and love, that he is perfecting and purifying these hearts. And of course he's going to do this, because God is pure. He's holy. And we all, in ourselves, have a problem with God's holiness. Probably some of us have said, God, why are you so holy? I just can't stand, I don't have a chance. You're so holy. Well, God is so holy, and therefore he has to equip us. He has to clothe us. He has to work with us and look at him or stand in his presence. And so he works with us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, changing us into his likeness and his image. Why? So that we can have these pure hearts, that we don't lose sight of his word, prayer life. Our prayers are answered. God is removing all these hindrances, just like that fog I spoke about earlier. There's nothing worse than trying to drive in fog. You just can't see properly. All your senses are alert. You're straining to try and see. There are things that you think you see in fog, which you then realize when you get closer, it's not what you thought it was. It's awful driving in fog. And that's what sin does. That's what Christians who are resisting God, that's what they're like. But God opens our eyes to see, and there's nothing like it. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So that's the nature of what he says. That's what he said to Israel. Your sin has hindered. Your sin has separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you. And that's what it does. It becomes like fog. It's starting to be hard to hear, to understand. That's why we need a pure heart. Because a pure heart keeps us in God's presence. A pure heart keeps us hearing the word. Because as we hear the word, we grow by faith, which is essential. And so we are where we are today, brothers and sisters, in faith, as a result of confession. Of watching over our hearts, making sure that our hearts are right and open before God. That is why I always keep saying that if you sin, do not leave it. Go immediately before God. Confess it. Get it under the blood. It is the most stupid thing that a Christian does, is to try and hide from God when they have sinned. How can you hide from God? Just think about it. And yet, that is what sin will try and do. And so we need those clean hands in his presence. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verses, Hebrews 12 verse 14, which says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So here again, those clean hands will also pursue peace with all people and holiness with them. In other words, having a right heart, a right attitude, a right motive toward our brother and sister. That is also essential for us to have clean hearts before God. We have to be right and clean with each other as well as before the Lord. And so if you find those resentments try to come up, or you're negative over a sister or a brother, We need to get that right. We need to repent of that. Because that's a great hindrance to our prayers, trying to pray one for another. This is why many times prayers are not answered, because we're being critical or negative toward each other. That isn't a purity of heart or clean hands. And therefore, those prayers are going to be hindered. They're not going to be heard and not answered, sadly. What does it say also in Psalm 24? Let's turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and verses 3 to 4 of Psalm 24, which says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who has not lifted up his soul, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." There we are. Clean hands and a pure heart. One who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, or even sworn deceitfully, either before God or before the saints or whatever it would be. We're shown that through that we are blessed. Hallelujah. And that's why the requirements of the deeper life is, as David's prayer was, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." That really is the principle of the deeper life. That God will continue to create and work that new life, that right spirit within us, because this deeper life walk is a walk in the Spirit, and you go as far as you want. God has opened the door. He's shown us we can walk that walk in the Spirit, but it is a walk of purity, of holiness, of a right attitude and heart and motive. See, that's the key to it, you see. Many just see it as a walk of faith. Well, it is a walk of faith, the deeper life. But our faith has to be a holy faith and a pure faith before Almighty God. That is the whole thing of the deeper life walk. And so these godly affections and desires, they have to be worked on. And if you want it, that is a purity of heart, a motive, then that love reveals that pure heart and nature. Because Jesus said, by the fruit they are known. It's if we love one another unconditionally. That is a sign of clean hands and a pure heart. How we treat our brother, our neighbour, our enemy, they are all the clean, clear signs of having a pure heart and clean hands in the presence of Almighty God. You will know whether you have that or not by your attitude toward your neighbour, toward those at church, your brothers, your sisters. They're clear signs. We can deceive ourselves in thinking that we know the Word of God and we can quote it and we know our theology, but that can all be in vain if we do not treat our neighbour, even our enemy, in the love of Christ. And that is always the test. And that test will tell us where we stand with God, whether indeed we are before his presence, we clean hands and a pure heart or not. We can so deceive ourselves to think we have a pure heart because we go to church regularly, we give our money in the collection, we support the ministry, all of those things, yes, they have a place and are important, but that's not the real test. The real test is my heart, my attitude toward my neighbour. That is what is going to tell us whether we walk upright and with clean hands and a pure heart in God's presence. And if we do, then that is a great help to our faith, to our standing, our overcoming, our enduring, and these trials that we go through as Christians. All of this is a great help in us to be able to stand and to make it through if we stand right with one another. Your prayers are hindered if you hold resentment, unforgiveness. You may pray and you may fast. You could even fast for 40 days. And some have. But if you're still holding resentment, unforgiveness in the heart, it's an absolute waste of time. Let's turn finally to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 22, which says here, 22 to 25, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. As the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel we preach to you. So there, Peter makes us absolutely clear, doesn't it? Let's just see again what he says here. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So he says here, and obviously he can say this confidently, because remember that Peter and the disciples, they were also preachers and teachers. They were teaching the saints. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So obviously, he knows that the Holy Spirit has been speaking about purifying your souls, your hearts. Been speaking about having pure hearts, clean hands in the presence of God, just like we're doing tonight. How do we know unless we're taught these things? So it's exactly the same there. That is what he's saying here to these early Christians. And he says, a sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So he says, with what you've been hearing, desiring your hearts to be purified, wanting clean hands in the presence of Almighty God, he says, therefore now, love one another with a fervent and pure heart. So there's the challenge. There's the goal that God presents to us. And we can, on the basis, choose whether that's what we want or not, which is to love one another fervently with a pure heart. God never forces us into his promises, but he shows them that they are there if we want them. Because love is the greatest goal. It is the royal law. It is the law that is perfected in our hearts. When we speak of love, we speak of the royal law. We speak of the commandments. We speak of us as overcomers, having kept the law through Christ Jesus, which he did. It is the pinnacle, if you like. Everything of the law that has now been accomplished through Christ, the demands of the law, love is the pinnacle. It is the fulfillment. And so he says here, he'll work that through us if we want it. And that will be a sign that our hearts are pure and clean before God. Remember I said at the beginning of this teaching that our motives are very important before God, and sometimes we have motives that are not always clean and right in his presence. And so he then goes on, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And he talks about all flesh passing and everything which it will do, but the word of the Lord will abide or endure forever. And that's why we feed on the word. That is why we're partaking of the word tonight, that the word gives us that faith, that life in which to continue, to overcome. Hallelujah. And we know if we're born again of the Spirit by the way we partake. We'll know tonight if we are of the Spirit, born again, by the way we partake of this word. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so we know where we stand. We know by our reaction. If we are born again, then we love the word of God. And we will partake of it. We will eat of it. It will be a joy to us. It's our affection. But if we don't love the word of God, then it's not really in our hearts. And therefore the affection is not there. Because as I said at the beginning, you will go and you will do what is really in your heart. Whatever affection you have in your heart that is ungodly and against God's word, you will do it. You can fight as hard as you want. You can try and put yourself in a monastery or become a nun or fast for 40 days. But unless you ask God to change that heart of stone, to put those godly affections within your heart, it will never be achieved. And all you will be otherwise is just a religious person trying to please God, trying to do it God's way, trying to get to God. Remember, the good news of the gospel is it's not about trying, it is being in his presence. It is God who comes to us in the state that we are, and in his mercy and grace, he takes all our baggage, all our problems, and he will cleanse us and forgive us through the blood of the Lamb and cast it away as far as the east is to the west. That is good news, I believe. This is why I'm always saying that other religions are always trying to get to God, trying to be good, trying to work it out. Not with the Christian faith. Our God came down to man in his depravity through Jesus Christ. That is the good news. And that is why when God touches your life, he never makes a mistake. God never makes a mistake. Whatever we are, whatever we've done, however we come before him, he never makes a mistake. He will make a new creation out of us so that we can have those clean hands and a pure heart in his presence to worship him and to glorify him. That's why he says it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So that is what I believe God placed on my heart tonight, brothers and sisters. It's having that pure heart in God's presence. And he will do it if you let him. And it's all whether we want to or not. God never forces, but he offers it to us. He shows us that it is there. And God's people, they will hear and they will respond. And they will know what to do. He gives us the grace. He gives us the insight. He gives us a spirit in which to get it right. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you again for our meeting. Thank you for bringing us into the room. Thank you, Father, that you first loved us. It was not in us to love you, but you in your mercy and grace put your love within our hearts. You put those godly affections within us. And that is why we're here tonight. That is why we're here, because you are working in us, with us both, to will and do for your good pleasure. You are changing us in your likeness. And sometimes, Father, we don't always like what you do. Sometimes it's very hard. But as we stay with it, you will work it in and through us. And so I thank you tonight. I thank you, Father, for all those that have come in, or those that have left. Father, we pray for them that a seed has at least been sown. You know, Lord, it's not your heart's desire that any should perish, but that all should come to the glory of God. And so, Father, I pray you'll bless our week. You'll be with us. Bless us, preserve us. Be with us when we travel, so that we can come again in fellowship.
Washed us in his word.